This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Lyon.
Do they have a pulse? Houston Astros. They look dead. Then all of a sudden, Yordan Alvarez gets hit. Astros are up for five runs in an inning in a losing effort to the Rangers, but then they don't look back. They win the next two. Astros 4-3 against the Rangers. 2-8 against everyone else. Taking on the Braves today. Is this team showing a pulse?
I think they're showing a pulse, but I think more than anything, they're showing their identity. We talk about identity a lot on the shows for all of the teams that we discuss. And with the Astros, I feel like they made a pivot somewhere after 2019 to where the identity started to be really how good the pitching was. From the starting pitching to even the bullpen at various spaces. I know there was that one year, maybe 2021, they had an issue with the bullpen, but for the most part, the pitching has been, I feel like, a big part of the Astros' identity. This year, so far, it feels like, man, if they don't score a bunch of runs or get a no-hitter from a 30-year-old rookie, then they can't win the game. I was looking at this,
that's
man.
That's a hell of a
that's
a hell of a recipe.
Look
there.
At that formula, and it does not feel sustainable. So, like, I'm celebrating the weekend. I like to get to win the silver boot, especially when it's here. But I'm looking at him like, man, they need this lineup to be lights out. And we talk about timely hitting, man. We need them to score eight runs or more, damn near, like just to win a game. So, I like what I saw over the weekend, but it is starting to become a lot clearer to me that the pitching is tough to rely on. Shout out to Christian Javier for being durable and, you know, having a quality start, being able to go, you know, seven innings for him yesterday. But, like, your best pitchers right now are Christian Javier and Ronel Blanco. Like, that's where we're at. And then, you know, you're playing Atlanta with Spencer Arrighetti and J.P. France and, like, basically the worst of
Hunter Brown.
And Hunter Brown, the worst of your rotation. Like, they're showing a pulse, and I think we know what they're good at. They're going to have to lean into that in order to just sustain this time period until their starters get healthy.
The problem that they're in right now and the problem that they face, especially in these next few days, given the way that these guys have pitched, is one loss turns into two because you have these starters that go three innings or, three-plus innings or even less. Hunter Brown, last time he was out there. And then your bullpen is basically fried for the remainder of series, and all of a sudden one loss turns into two. And that's the problem that they have right now. They're only 10% through the season. But, and we could get Verlander back this week, which would be nice. But what is Verlander? Like, how much is Verlander going to give you? It's a recipe that's clear. I think they just need to rake. But they're in a real dangerous spot because who knows what you're going to get from these starters. And when they go out there and they wet the bed like they did, your bullpen just gets completely fried.
Yeah. You asked if they have a pulse, but they're still, like, sick. You know, like they're like in the hospital, they're bedridden. Like, I don't think it's like desperate, you know, but you look at it and the roster is just so flawed at this point, man. Like from the depth of the rotation to the middle relief, the issues that you have there, your biggest investment in the offseason was a closer and you haven't really given them many games to close. Obviously you did yesterday, but I just feel like the holes in the roster this early in the season have really just been exposed. And they have a pulse because they have that lineup. Like, that is the pulse. You know, you talk about waking up a sleeping giant hitting Yordan Alvarez. Well, they can only respond to that because they got, you know, the top of that lineup is can rival any other in baseball. But outside of that, I mean, it's a lot of holes. It's a lot of side eyeing going on.
Meanwhile, with the Texans, and by the way, we're going to hear from D'Amico, CJ, and Will Anderson coming up in an hour. First public words, I'm assuming, in regards to Stephon Diggs. The Indianapolis Colts, while the Texans don't have a day one pick, the Colts are sitting right there at 15. And they haven't really done much this offseason. They did give DeForest Buckner a two-year extension earlier today. They're visiting with a lot of receivers, though. Xavier Worthy, the Texas Longhorn record holder of the combine, he visited with the Indianapolis Colts. And it is interesting. I do wonder what exactly Indianapolis is up to and what the heck they're going to do, because they're visiting with pretty much every receiver.
Yeah.
Could they be looking to add someone opposite Michael Pittman and give Anthony Richardson and Shane Steichen more weapons right there at 15? Is that a trade back? Do they take Xavier Worthy at 15? Are they in the Brock Bowers mix? What exactly is Indianapolis doing? Because you got to think. And I'm not going to say they're going to try to overcompensate, but with how quiet they've been in free agency, you got to wonder if they're going to save their aggressiveness for the draft. While teams like the Texans, Titans, and Jags, they've been a little bit more aggressive during the other phase of the offseason.
Well, have they been quiet, or have they been more on the running back season? Because they had some free agents, and they just brought a lot of them back. So they've been, in large part, on running back season. A lot of that had to do with Michael Pittman, right? So you bring back Michael Pittman, but you haven't really added much. So to me, you look at the Colts, and some of their obvious weaknesses is not having a lot of wide receiver depth or a lot of wide receiver help outside of Michael Pittman. So there's just such an obvious and clear need for them, and that's what scares me about Xavier Worthy.
What could the Colts do that would scare you?
Oh, man, if they draft Xavier Worthy, if they're able to nab Xavier Worthy and add him to Shane Steichen, who we talked about a lot being one of the better up-and-coming offensive minds, maybe an underrated head coach from last year, and then Anthony Richardson, like, I don't know how good he's going to be, but I do know that the dude is strong enough to throw it deep to Xavier Worthy, and if Xavier Worthy can catch it, and we know he's had some ups and downs with that from watching him at Texas, but if he can catch it, I feel like Anthony Richardson can get it to him. I feel like Shane Steichen can scheme it up. And so that feels like the perfect scenario to put a young weapon like that into. So I'm not afraid of Indy, but I'm like cautiously watching them in the rear view. They're basically like right there next to you. And then they add a weapon like that to me. I feel like that can add another dimension to what they do. Xavier Worthy on the Colts.
So you think if they draft him at 15, are we trading back or
No. I don't think they're drafting him at 15.
I mean, that's too early, right?
Yeah, that's got to be way too early. But I'm just saying if he winds up on their team. But, like, nah, they're not drafting Xavier Worthy more than likely at 15. That would seem like a stretch. However they get him, though, I think it would be scary for the Texans having to match up with that speed.
I just don't fear, and maybe this is me being false, I don't fear the quarterbacks, the second-year quarterbacks in the division. I don't fear Anthony Richardson. I don't really fear Will Levis.
Yeah.
I think it's just kind of borrowed time.
Yeah, I don't fear him. I think it would be ridiculous to fear him based off of the dude that you got, right? Like you've got C.J. Stroud, but there is that uncomfortability of the unknown. Like I'm not fearful, but I'm not like comfortable with the fact that I haven't seen a lot of him, right? Like, and I think I've seen enough of Will Levis to feel like he's a tier below, but Anthony Richardson, in that scheme, under that coaching with Shane Steichen, I feel like if there's anybody, and I've said this before, I feel like if there's anybody that can tap into it, it would be Shane Steichen. If it doesn't work there, I don't see where it's going to work. But, dude, I could see it. Like, he made Gardner Minshew work last year, and I know you were kind of tongue-in-cheek but also serious saying that they were better off with Gardner Minshew.
I believe that wholeheartedly.
I know you did, but Gardner Minshew's not good. So, like, if Anthony Richardson's got anything – like any, if there's anything to this talent there with Anthony Richardson, he should be better than Gardner Minshew.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
See, my biggest fear in this division, and it's not even a player. My biggest, like the fear that I have most in the AFC South is Shane Steichen. I don't think he gets near enough credit. And I know that sounds weird. I'm not even talking about you. I mean, he didn't finish top five in Coach of the Year. That's asinine to me.
Well,
so
Did they vote after he put the third string running back?
But damn, when they voted, that was a good play call.
It was a good play call. Well, I mean, you're in charge of your personnel groupings too, though.
But I have a healthy amount of fear of Shane Steichen. That's the guy that I fear the most in this division.
You should be damn terrified then. Give Shane Steichen an alien.
Not with Anthony Richardson, though.
All right. Well,
that doesn't scare me. I think that can be the kryptonite. But I do feel like
I wonder how much you really believe in Shane Steichen. Then
I do feel like there's a higher floor with Shane Steichen. I think he's 100% going to coach up whoever he gets. And it's also addition by subtraction, because I think it was clear that Philadelphia missed him too.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not just what you're doing. It's what happens when you leave. And Philadelphia seemed to miss Shane Steichen.
I don't know about Anthony Richardson's makeup in the way that I feel like we do with Jalen Hurts. And I know you don't like this comparison because of what Jalen Hurts was able to do in college. He was a more accomplished quarterback coming into the league than Anthony Richardson. But I did see enough of Anthony Richardson to think, hey, physically, talent-wise, there's no reason why he can't. If he's got similar coaching and is willing to take to it, I don't see why he can't be what Jalen Hurts was 2 years ago. I don't see why his lack of college experience and success would preclude him from being able to do that under the same coaching with Shane Steichen with the physical tools that he's got. So I'm basically looking at it like, not to say that the Colts are going to the Super Bowl, but I could totally see Anthony Richardson being Jalen Hurts with a little bit more to him physically, with Shane Steichen as his coach.
I also think, and maybe we're talking ourselves into the Indianapolis Colts being a better squad. I also think that Jonathan Taylor is one of the more scary guys in the division when it comes to being able to kind of control a game. And we saw him last year, he was kind of banged up. He didn't get his contract. But on the back end of the year, he had three of his final four games. He had over 90 yards. He had five touchdowns in those 4 weeks. We saw him go for 188 against the Texans when they needed him most, 32 carries. They've satisfied his financial demands. He kind of seems to be all in. You put him back there with Anthony Richardson, I think that's a little bit scary too. I mean, he's Derrick Henry's out of the division. They have Steichen and they have Jonathan Taylor.
So the NFL Network was showing the Texans Colts game from the final week of the season over the weekend, right? I was trying to decide stuff to watch. I landed on that.
You peeped that?
I did peep that for a little bit. And just kind of a side note here, I will point out that after rewatching that game, I can see a little bit of where the Texans grew impatient with Malik Collins. Really, that was it a great game?
Oh, your guy?
Was it a great game for me? I was like, for a little while, I was keying in on Malik Collins. I was like, you know what? He's kind of getting pushed around a little bit. He's kind of finding himself in the wrong position. Oh, he's got a drive-killing penalty. In this case, a drive-sustaining penalty for the Colts. So, like, yeah, my eyes were open to that, and it makes me think about Jonathan Taylor, how he was carving him up. That's going to be a problem. Like, going back to the Xavier Worthy point, you got Anthony Richardson, who can make a case for being the best athlete on the field at any given time. Jonathan Taylor and Xavier Worthy, a trio with that. And then, I don't know, you just throw Michael Pittman out there as an option to throw the ball to. Yeah, I think that's something to put a pin in and pay attention to for the Texans fans. Don't sleep on the Colts.
Yeah, I wouldn't sleep on the Colts. I wouldn't sleep on the Jags either. I mean, they could have easily won the division last year. I'm almost worried about the D-line now, because they have Josh Allen, who just got paid, and then they have Walker, and now they just added Armstead. Depending on what happens with Armstead, you might have really one of the more athletic D-lines in the league.
Yeah,
I don't even know if it's debatable. One of the more athletic D-lines in the league.
Nah, I mean, it's not debatable. I think it's a – I think – I came on here last week and was saying it, man. You look at the teams, and I know we're putting the Titans to the side a little bit. They're kind of like the – Tennessee's like the little brother right now. But they did take the offseason seriously. I don't know what they're going to do.
No, they got aggressive.
They got aggressive.
Now, were they reckless or were they smart? They got really aggressive, though.
Is it controlled aggression? Is it smart money, smart big money, or like how y'all like to say? I don't know. We'll have to let it play out. But we can't look at them and act like they're not trying, at the very least. Like they're trying to do something.
No, they don't have an identity, though.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I thought it was going to be a rebuild. Now they're all in. I can't figure it out.
It is going to also come down to, and I think the answer is no, but it is going to come down to, is Will Levis good? Like, what if Will Levis is good? Now we got an issue. And it goes back to what I was saying last week about this division having a chance to be one of the better ones in all of football. If he's even kind of good, I think all three of the other teams are good. Like, the Texans are good.
What if he stinks?
The Colts are good.
What if
the
he
Jags
stinks?
Are good.
What if he stinks?
Now, if he stinks, that helps.
Then you know something
and
nobody's
smart,
talking
or
about?
Or dumb bad money.
You know something that nobody's talking about if he stinks?
Oh, Malik Willis is their backup?
No. No, their backup's Mason Rudolph.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yikes.
They got Mason Rudolph. You know what nobody's talking about if Will Levis stinks? That the Will Anderson trade actually allowed them to bring Will Levis into the division to the Titans because the Texans traded that 33rd pick to the Cardinals. Then the Cardinals traded it to the Titans.
33 was the Texans' pick originally.
So there's almost like an X factor, almost underrated aspect of that trade where the Texans not only went up and got the defensive rookie of the year, who, by the way, we'll hear from in about an hour, but they also got Josh Allen, a.k.a. Will Levis, to the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
So there's an element right there. That's nobody's talking about.
What if he's great? And
he ain't great.
And it kicks him in the ass.
Let's slow down a little bit.
Hey, no.
Great. Let's take great out of it.
Thank God for CJ. I'm just saying, what if he is? What if he turns out to be great? We're probably going to get to this later, but I know you saw some NFL media types holding water, carrying water for the Titans and how they believe.
The Starbucks baby, he put down the coffee.
Oh,
he's got
man.
The water.
They believe in Will Levis as a leader.
That's the Starbucks baby.
He carries, what did they say? He carries himself like the franchise quarterback.
No, he
Damn
said
it, he
Jordan
better.
Schultz said it.
He better carry himself like the franchise. He drafted 33 overall, and the best thing they had behind him was damn Ryan Tannehill and Malik Willis. Like, yeah, this is your opportunity, dog. This is your Davis Mills 2022 season.
I think there's like a satisfaction with the Titans' moves, too, where they took Snead from the Colts, according to reports, and then they took Ridley from the Jags. So I think there's almost like a certain level of satisfaction.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just look at them and think they are aggressive. They have a quarterback that they drafted 33rd overall the previous year who did show some things. Like, I just don't want to – I don't want to act like they're not there. I don't want to act like the Titans aren't there as much as I don't believe in Will Levis.
All right.
Have fun
with that.
There is a what if factor there. So you're going to go about it like that, just overlooking the AFC South opponents?
I'm overlooking the Titans.
All right.
I'm not overlooking anyone but the Titans. I'm overlooking them.
All right.
That's it.
I'll take that.
I'm not overlooking the Colts. I'm not overlooking the Jags. I'm overlooking the Titans.
All right. Now, when Will Levis start throwing them bombs to Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins, I'm like,
okay.
Jeff Okuda, get out there. Get out there, dog. All right.
You know what would be worse? If Mason Rudolph come in start rolling like it's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Getting crazy now.
Yeah, get them to like 8-9 or something.
Yeah. Getting crazy now. That's what's going on in Tennessee. Are you a line jumper, Figgy? When you hit the buffet, are you a line jumper? When is it okay to jump the line?
Nah, I never do that, man.
Never?
Nah, I never do that.
What if someone's like at the salad bar and they're taking a long time?
Oh, if they
and
got
you
four orders,
pizza.
Yeah, dude. They got. Hey, I want four plates.
Yeah,
yeah. Let me get my one.
It really depends. If they there for a long time, then I would say something and try to squeeze in. But
now, if you jump the line though, and then they see you, like let's say there's one piece of pepperoni pizza, do you take the one piece and not even worry about it and just go about your business, or do you kind of look back and see if they're kind of eyeing it?
Oh man, that's way too courteous. Y'all are friendly.
You just throw it on the plate and roll.
Yeah, man. Do they not make pizza back there? They gonna bring some more out. Yeah, man. It ain't my job to preserve the pizza for the rest of the customer
base.
I'm
way too courteous, man.
Nah, man.
So he'd be like, hey, do you want that? What do you do? How far do you take this courtesy?
I would say, hey, you want? Hey, you grabbing that? Oh, you can grab it. Go ahead. I'll wait. I actually want to wait to get the fresher pizza.
I like the pizza that's out a little bit longer. I don't like the real hot. I kind of want it out.
Burn the roof
bit.
Of your mouth. No, I'll sit there in the line and start calculating. All right, I hope this many people don't want pepperoni.
Yeah.
How many? Will there be one? Oh yeah.
If there's half a meat lovers up there, and you have like four big dudes, you're like, man, that's gone.
Ain't no love in this world, man. I ain't expecting nobody to do nothing for me. So like, I'm doing my calculations
while I'm
in the line. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get that. And if not, man, nah, when I get there, man, first come, first serve, dog.
Brandon Scott, greedy. Let's talk about how Nick Caserio and company could get greedy in the next couple of weeks. Also going to hear from CJ, Will Anderson, and D'Amico Ryans within the next 40 minutes. In the Loop continues next.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.